knows where, who knows where.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you very much for joining me today. Now, we have only 1 week to go, or a week and a half actually, before a fantastic event which is happening around the country on the 8th of December between approximately 2 and 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. There will be a nation at prayer praying for life and faith in this country. Now at 2 o'clock people are gathering, but the March for Life starts at 2:30 in Wellington. Now it's starting in the Civic Centre, so that's 101 Wakefield Street in Wellington Central, and then it will work its way along to Parliament Grounds, and that should be by about 4 o'clock. Now at the same time that that's going on, throughout New Zealand there are, well at the moment there are over 60 groups who have organised themselves either in their parishes or in other holy places, and they will be praying a program, a rosary program. We call it the Rosary Crusade Prayer Program. And so while the march is going on, there will be people right around the country praying for their intention, which is, of course, a pro-life intention, March for Life. And that is to affirm the dignity of every person from the moment of conception until natural death. So I am fortunate to be one of a team who are part of the organising group doing the Rosary Crusade. Now, originally when we started in February, we followed on and called ourselves Coast to Coast. And when we went to register the Denaim site, that Rosary Coast to Coast had been taken up by many other groups earlier. Ireland had a Coast to Coast, the UK had a Coast to Coast, etc., etc. So we couldn't actually register that Denaim site, that domain site, I should say. So we ended up with www.rosarycrusade.co.nz, beg your pardon. So ACT name stuck. So rather than Coast to Coast, we are known by Rosary Crusade, and it's a pro-life thing. So why did this small group of people decide to organise this rosary? Well, in December, you had David Seymour's End of Life Choices Bill. It had its first reading, and the numbers were quite staggering. It was voted about, I think, 78 for euthanasia and 44 against. Now, that is a huge difference. Not surprising, because when it was last voted on in 2003, you had 60 MPs against it and you had 58 MPs for it. Now, that was 15 years ago. And so with the push all around the world and the propaganda non-stop, it's not surprising that our MPs have already struck a very great mark in the sand about forcing this to happen. Now, when you think that we have the highest youth suicide rate in the world, to our shame, you have people like the great Bob McCoskrie from Family First stating that you don't discourage suicide by assisting suicide. And he is absolutely on the money. So if these MPs vote for this, and they say it's a conscience vote, and I'll get to that in a minute, then this is an utter betrayal of our youth. And if it is voted on and it goes ahead, do these MPs actually think that the rate of suicide in the youth, or in the general population for that matter, will actually go down? Because you can't have it both ways. I mean, this is double speak. So we lament youth suicide, but we are praising people at the other end, or terminal illness, or, you know, in other countries it's now mental illness, or all sorts of things. And they want to do it. So what a mixed message we are sending. It's shocking. Now, last week, unfortunately, I came into the studio, but there was a problem with the program and I wasn't able to get in. And thankfully, quite a few other people had the same problem, so it wasn't just me being my total goofy Luddite self. Last week, I had the great misfortune on Tuesday night to go to a meeting which the MP Don Bidwa was hosting in Northcote. And it was a euthanasia debate between David Seymour and a professor. I'm sorry, I can't quite remember his name. So I went along. I used to live in Northcote, and I'd heard all about this Dan Bidwa, and so I thought I'd go along. Well, it was an utter disgraceful evening. I was embarrassed to be there. David Seymour was smug. He was arrogant, he was patronising, he was sitting back in his chair as if he didn't have a care in the world, he was mocking, he was degrading on every level, the whole thing was a joke. He is a good debater in that he's obviously been schooled. The other side will say this, smack them down with this. They're going to say this, smack them down with this. They'll say this, smack them down with this. So he turned virtually everything into a religious issue. Oh, but you people with your religious views. Oh, but you people, that's a spiritual thing. That's nothing to do with us. So it was just an absolute disgrace. Now, there were actually in the room quite a few people that I knew from Northcote and through other avenues. And each one of us afterwards were appalled at this man's behaviour. He called the professor a liar, and afterwards, according to a good friend, he went up twice to the professor and called him a liar, or called him a liar twice, and he refused to shake the professor's hand. It was a disgrace. Now, afterwards, the professor naturally walked out very despondent, and I hadn't really appreciated what had gone on. So I went up to him and I thanked him very much for coming, and gradually a little group of us gathered around him, and we certainly told him that we really appreciated him being there. Now, Dan Bidwa rightly represents Northcote, and so he wanted people from Northcote to ask the questions after the debate, and so I held back from answering or asking a question. But my question was, Malcolm Muggeridge said in 1987 that it only takes around 30 years to turn a war crime, the Holocaust, into an act of compassion, euthanasia. And he suspected that governments in the future would support it because they didn't want to pay for the care of the elderly. So I didn't actually have an opportunity to speak. I had my hand up at the very end, but I only put it up late, and so they had stopped the meeting. So the professor said, and I knew this because I've actually seen it written as well, that there are governments all around the world openly saying that because of euthanasia, they have saved all of this amount of money, and other governments saying, if we bring in euthanasia, we'll save all this amount of money from the care of the elderly, and then they will donate that money towards solving some sort of cancer in children. So that's meant to appease the people who will kill themselves, knowing that their money saved will be spent on the other end of the population. I mean, I don't know, that logic just doesn't compute. So it was a disgraceful evening, very, very embarrassing, but not surprising. I mean, I've seen him in operation before, but this just confirmed that, you know, we don't want a bar of it. We certainly don't want MPs like him. Now, Dan is a lovely young man. He was raised by a single mum, and I've read quite a lot about him, never met him. So I happened to be there half an hour early, and he was at the other end of the hall, and he came up and introduced himself to me. And so for the next 10 minutes, we were talking. So I gave an oral submission last year when they did their first canvass on Marion Street's bill. And so for 10 minutes, he basically heard my submission, and he was very positive. And what he did say, which was very interesting, is that when the MPs voted on it, Coleman, what's his name? Anyway, the Minister of Health, National MP, who's just left, he voted for it. Now, that was a huge disappointment for me, because the day before the elections last year, Jonathan Coleman, I spoke to him. He was in Northcote, and I spoke to him outside the Countdown supermarket. And he said, "Are you going to give your party vote for National?" And I said, "I'll give my party vote to the party that votes against euthanasia." And he said, "Oh, but that's a conscience vote." And I said, "You know, there's no such thing as conscience votes. Most people are instructed and will vote with your party." And he agreed with me. And he said, "Oh, but, you know, I'm against it." So he told me to my face he's against it. And yet I hear from Dan Bidwa he voted for it. Now, you know, very, very strange. The problem is, now that they've had that one vote already and the margins are so huge, the likelihood of turning it over will not come from a human effort. It can only be from divine intervention. And so that's why a group of us decided that we needed to do something. And then in February of this year, we heard that the Labor government wanted to update the abortion laws. Now, is code word for loosen their restrictions on having abortion. So the Law Commission was sent off to come up with some suggestions, and they came back recently with three recommendations. The Labor government made it quite clear that they wanted to take abortion out of the Crimes Act and make it a health issue. And there are approximately 3,500 submissions to the Law Commission, and overwhelmingly, it was around 69% or something like that, of submissions said they did not want it taken out of the Crimes Act. But this is exactly what the Law Commission has recommended. And they also, they had three recommendations, and one of them was to take off the time limits. So if you think about that, that is no time limits. Well, that could be abortion right to 9 months. Taken out of the Crimes Act and made a health issue, that means that the government would then, in a way, be condoning, sanctioning the killing of our citizens. And the most defensive of them is the unborn baby in its mother's womb. Now, that is just simply not acceptable. When you have a mother who's pregnant and something is detected wrong with the baby, quite late in the pregnancy, doctors can actually do surgery on that baby. And so that baby is alive and worthy of surgery. Also, if a mother is pregnant and somebody maliciously attacks her and kills the unborn baby, that person then goes before the court for murder or manslaughter or something like that. So if we can acknowledge the baby's right now, you'll be taking the baby's right away later. Now, there's this wonderful slogan that the MPs are all saying at the moment. They want abortion rare, safe, and legal. Okay, safe for whom? Well, certainly not for the baby. I mean, what a load of nonsense. Second thing that motivated this small group of Catholics to get together and start this rosary. Now, you can see it, the website is stunningly beautiful. And it was done by the very, very talented website designer Dan Lim from Christchurch. So it's www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. If you're listening, please go and check it out right now. www.rosarycrusade.co.nz. Stunningly beautiful. Now, as I said, we have sites from one end of the country to the other. Literally, we have one group who will be praying at Cape Reinga. We have another group praying down in Gore and everywhere in between. We've got over 20 groups in Auckland. We've got 4 in Christchurch, 3 in Dunedin. We've still got a few gaps there. So if you're listening and you want to pray the rosary that day or even to lead a group, please email me and I will courier to you immediately a leader's pack. So my email address is clare, clare.sts4@gmail.com. I'll do it again. If you are thinking you might like to pray the rosary and you'd like a pack to know more about it, it's clare, clare.sts4@gmail.com. So we're currying things to people now because we have been posting things out, but everyone has been saying that they haven't been arriving for at least a week, so we just courier things out now. So if you want something, there'll be posters, which is a bit late, but there'll be flyers and there'll be some specially printed beautiful holy cards depicting this event, so well worth having. So the March for Life, we have more than 500,000 unborn Kiwi that have been lost to abortion since abortion came in. So what you have there is countless women and their families have been wounded physically, emotionally and spiritually. And we all innately know that when a woman is pregnant, that is a baby, that's a live baby, that is growing. So that's a baby. You can call it a fetus to deflect the issue, but it's a baby. Interestingly, in Korea, when a baby is born, they are already 1 year old. And that denotes the time in the womb when they were already a child. I love that, and that would be something that we should encourage. So our Rosary group is encouraging everyone, please go to Wellington. Show this government that we do not want a bar of what they are proposing. If you can't go to Wellington, then gather in your church groups, in your parishes. We've got people up mountains, we've got people on beaches, we've got people all over the country who are going to pray the rosary for this day. Now, our rosary program begins with the national anthem, begun in Māori, and then we have the opening prayer. We have the rosary and it will be the joyful mysteries because, of course, this is the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, December the 8th, and that is all about the joyful mysteries when the angel came to Our Lady and told her that she was pregnant. So this is all about the unborn. Then we have the closing prayer, and because it's the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, we've got the hymn Immaculate Mary. And to finish, we also have that beautiful Māori hymn to Our Lady, Ka Waiata. So if you want to download that, it's all on the website. You can get it under resources. Everything's there. Now, as far as support, Bishop Pat is a patron, and we have 4 other bishops in New Zealand who have also offered us their prayerful support. We have priests all over the country who are leading the rosary in their parishes. But this really is a lay-led initiative, and most of the leaders in our over 60 groups are lay people. Now, when you think about it, with New Zealand only 4.5 million people, already we've got over 60 groups, and probably by the time it's finished, it'll be 75, maybe 80. At the moment, we have one group per 75,000 people, which is pretty good. Now, the UK, when they had their rosary, They had a huge lead up of about 4 months. We've only had 6 weeks or 6.5 weeks so far. And with 66 million people, that was one group per 330,000. So we're already four times ahead of the UK. So I think for just such a small campaign, which has been lay-led, is pretty phenomenal. So here is the prayer for life. It is part of our opening and closing prayer. St. John Paul II composed it. O Mary, bright dawn of the new world, mother of the living, to you do we entrust the cause of life. Look down, O mother, upon the vast numbers of babies not allowed to be born, of the poor whose lives are made difficult, of men and women who are victims of brutal violence, of the elderly and the sick killed by indifference or out of misguided mercy. Grant that all who believe in your Son may proclaim the gospel of life with honesty and love to the people of our time. The closing prayer. O Mary, obtain for them the grace to accept the gospel as a gift ever new, the joy of celebrating it with gratitude throughout their lives, and the courage to bear witness to it resolutely, in order to build, together with all people of goodwill, the civilization of truth and love, to the praise and glory of God, the Creator and Lover. What a beautiful prayer. So that's the prayer that we will be praying in our parishes that day while the march is in progress. So this is a fantastic initiative when you think that this is not led by the Catholics. This is an interdenominational group and non-religious people all coming together because they understand and uphold the dignity of all life from conception to natural death. Now, Bob Koskery, I mentioned before, leader of Family Life, has done amazing things for families in this country, and he certainly needs to be supported. So Bob's one of the leading people in March for Life, so he'll be down there, no doubt. And at the end of the march, we're going to gather in one corner, and we will raise our banner with our beautiful, specially commissioned image of Our Lady of Assumption, and we will hold that high. And anyone who wants to join us at the end of the march and pray the rosary, they'll be most welcome. We'll have lots of handouts with that program that I just described to you, and we're encouraging people to download it themselves. So hopefully we'll have a really, really great turnout of people praying the rosary to Our Lady of Assumption at the end of the march. So really, really looking forward to that. I'm going down to Wellington myself, and I, as much as I would love to be at all the different groups all around the country, I think it's important to put our numbers before the government. Okay, it's that time again. I don't know where it goes, but let's listen to that beautiful song, which you know I love.
The road is long, with a many a winding tongue that leads us to who knows where. Brother, so on we go.